A kindergarten teacher was observing her classroom of children while they were drawing pictures, and occasionally she would walk around the room and see each child's work. "What are you drawing?" she would ask each child, and one of the children, a little girl, who was working diligently at her desk. The little girl replied, "I'm drawing God." The teacher paused and said, "But no one knows what God looks like." The little girl replied, "Well, they will when I'm done." On this second Sunday in Lent, we pause to know God in this season. We might not be able to draw God with quite the confidence of that kindergarten student, but we can pause to meet God and to know God more in relationship, with the confidence that God wants to be known, that God is able to be known by each of us. We pause to get to know God more. The first part of the Corinthians passage that we heard today reminds us that we embrace knowledge at different levels, at different ages. It would be inappropriate for infants who would be needing milk to have solid food. Can you imagine a newborn coming home from a hospital getting a full steak dinner? It would be irresponsible of us to do so. In the same way, it's unnecessary for growing Christians to experience God in ways that would overwhelm them. You and I, we find that God meets us exactly where we are, almost as if the God who made us knows us that well. Think about that a moment. The God who made us knows us that well. One of the series I've been enjoying watching is called The Crown. I wonder if any of you have seen it. It's realistic fiction based on the life of Queen Elizabeth. There's a portion of an episode I'm going to show you in just a moment. It's from 1958. I don't remember that year at all, for some obvious reasons. Maybe some of you do. But it's a time when Billy Graham, I'm thinking of him in a particular way this week, meets Queen Elizabeth. It's a fictionalized episode, but it is a time that they met one another. You see, Queen Elizabeth had heard of the success of the Crusades, and she wanted him to come to one of the parish churches so she could experience the preaching for herself. She wanted to know what all the buzz was about. So take a look at the experience.
As I was thinking about what to preach about today, I considered various topics which speak to me personally, but I thought that I would start with a simple question. What is a Christian? The Bible tells us, Colossians 1:27 says, that a Christian is a person in whom Christ dwells. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It means that you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That encounter has taken place. You have received Christ as Savior. And that is what a Christian is.
I enjoy that very much. You do speak with such wonderful clarity and certainty. I find it very reassuring. And it's not only me. The rest of the country, too, I imagine.
Yes. We've been surprised ourselves at the turnout.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, you shouldn't be. In an increasingly complex world, we all need certainty, and you provide it.
Well, that's not me. Scriptures. provide.
Yes, but you illuminate them so well. The great joy that I felt today was that of being a simple congregant, being taught, being led. You see, as head of the Anglican Church, in terms of rank, even the great archbishops of York and Canterbury are below me. Above me, there is only God.
Well, that must be lonely sometimes.
Yes, it is. Which is why it's lovely, as queen, to be able to just disappear and be...
a simple Christian.
Yes. Above all things, I do think of myself as just a simple Christian. It's the values of Christian living that root me, guide me, define me. Have you always been such a good speaker?
I was actually a shy child.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking as a shy child myself, I have to say that I find that very hard to believe.
No, ma'am. It's true. The first time I ever spoke in public, I was 12 years old at school. The school principal told my mother he thought I was a natural, that of all things, I had a gift.
To be a simple Christian. Queen Elizabeth's wish. Billy Graham clearly stated a desire to know God. If you ever go back and look, it's actually Billy Graham's book reflects on their relationship. The Queen, uncharacteristically, actually reflects on their relationship as well. This desire to be a simple Christian, just to know God. Long obedience in the same direction as the way Eugene Peterson describes the same thing. Knowing God is not a single choice one day with no follow-up, but rather a lifelong relationship we grow into, we struggle against and with, to be a simple Christian, as he says there, is to pause, to seek, and to know God. To think about the fact that both Billy Graham and Queen Elizabeth, he just recently deceased and she still living, both in their 90s, to be a simple Christian. For someone with complex and ethically nuanced decisions, to uncover and seek biblical faith to ground those decisions is, for me, inspiring, as we find in Queen Elizabeth. And for someone who spent his life illuminating the scriptures in a way that rulers and ordinary folks alike can understand, as we find in Billy Graham, I think is equally inspiring. On this week, in which we are remembering Billy Graham in death, we find ourselves saying there's always something more that we could do. Always more commentaries about ways we could use our influence for. Always more knowledge, more nuance, always more possibility. That's the challenge about public ministry. But we pause today saying more people have knowledge of God. That's the knowing part. Because of the Crusades, because of the TV y'all saw, because of the radio, I've heard stories all week about Billy Graham. I've been listening. Because of the knowing God part. However, lest we forget, Paul's wisdom in the letter to Corinth extends beyond Paul's time in the church. Paul writes of the relationship between God and knowing God. Some of us will know God directly by prayer and our own experience of God's revelation. Some of us will hear the preached word and read for ourselves writings. Some of us will have someone reflect and we'll hear that someone read, and we'll hear the story someone told us of someone reading, and it'll feel like whisper down the lane and the telephone game someone told someone who told someone else. Put another way, it'll sound an awful lot like, Keith, can you go back one? It'll sound an awful lot like I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. John Wesley in the Methodist movement understood this concept well. He encouraged others to hear the message in the coal mines and the open fields and the preaching houses, and then go back to the parish to receive the sacrament, be grounded somewhere. Did you know that Billy Graham did the same thing in the Crusades? The Crusades, as they were moving through a community, they'd connect with churches in community so that as spiritual growth was awakened, there'd be local communities who could support that spiritual growth. You see, as we pause to know God more, we need one another. We need the ones in the here and the now who are going to illuminate the scriptures as we ask the questions. And we need the ones in the years to come who are going to join us on the journeys as we uncover the knowing God more. When we come to know God more, we learn about God's character. We learn that God's character involves all people. Did you catch that? In the gospel lesson, it was the religious leaders. Oh, that always stings. It was the religious leaders who were surprised that Jesus wasn't just planning on spending time with the influential. Jesus was planning on eating with the sinners and the tax collectors. He was filling his time with the disregarded and the hardly worth my time kind of folks. It was what he said, those who have no need of a physician. Those aren't the kind I spend time with. It was the sick who need rather than the healthy. I've not come to call the righteous, but rather the sinners. Those are the ones who need me even more. How easy it is for us, church, to say. In the church, we'd rather it be a safe place. We don't want people in the church. We don't want it to have to go through all that kind of stuff. We forget that so often we've been in a place of being less than desirable too. We've been in a place of being in need, and it was God's nature to draw us in and take care of us as well. Would it not also be the nature of God to continue to draw us in and care for us? Would it not also be God's nature to keep taking care of God's people in need? In the end, it's God who gives the growth. It's God who, in the pauses, makes God's self known. So in this Lenten season, when you, just like me, are faced with mystery and quandary, curiosity and ethical dilemma, it's God who gives those growth and knowledge. And ultimately, God who's knowable and who's searchable. It's God who gives that vision to the girl in kindergarten. Remember the one who thought she could draw the face of God? And it's God who was with Billy Graham, the one who said, "This world is not my home. I'm just traveling through." He was known to say that time and time again so often that it's what people think of when they think of him. Now that might be, but it's home for us long enough that we ought to make folks feel welcome when they feel unwelcome. It's home long enough that we are doorkeeper for many. On the strength of that Markan passage, you and I have a job to welcome others as if they were the very face of Jesus, the sick in need of a doctor, the unrighteous in need of God. Let all of God's people come into the house of the Lord. Pause, my friends, today, long enough to know that God wants to be known, that God is knowable. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.